theme. This theme, the Word of God, is probably as challenging as any theme as we've looked at. And what's really exciting is the fact that we don't have to write it. It's already written for us. The other challenge we face is that within our church family, we have different levels, different age groups of Christians. We have Christians that have been Christians for a long time, and we could use that as a gauge as to how old they are in the Lord. That doesn't necessarily mean that's how mature they are. God said to obey is better than sacrifice. So we can be saved for years and years and years, but our level of obedience might not be equal to our biblical age. Then we might be saved relatively short amount of time, and yet our faith walk is far more active than a Christian who's been saved for 30 or 40 years that decided to put their faith walk on hold or pause. So we look at, again, each week we look at this theme. I look at this theme as a jigsaw puzzle. And if you're a grandparent or if you've ever been a parent, you've seen those jigsaw puzzles that are usually made out of wood. You know, they're nice and flat. You have 5, maybe 10 pieces that fit. So for a baby Christian, 10 messages on the Word of God in a year might be enough. But maybe you're not there. Maybe you're on a 25-piece puzzle, or maybe a 100-piece puzzle, maybe 200, 500. How many of you have ever done a 1,000-piece puzzle? Raise your hand. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How many of you have ever done a 5,000-piece puzzle? I mean, if you're up there, you have special tables, you know, you are really on a special level if you're doing a 5,000-piece puzzle. But think about the Word of God. For many of us, we're on that 5,000-piece level. And it's like, Lord, help me. Help me. So as I pray and as you pray this year for our theme and our church family, pray that all the different levels of believers that are gathered together at any given service can be fed and ministered to. Because some messages are too high for some people. Some messages are too low for some people. And that's the dilemma of ministry. For Vacation Bible School, we have a pretty good idea what the level of understanding is. But in a church service, it's sometimes difficult to, and that's why the Holy Spirit of God takes care of all that and ministers to everybody's need the way God intended that to happen. Turn in your Bible to the book of Luke, if you would. The book of Luke, I won't be long, but I thought that perhaps we could look at this passage of Scripture as a springboard into something else. I did a mind map this morning where I basically took one piece of paper and I put our theme in the center. And then I wrote down all of the things that we've done this year, all the messages, all the passages of Scripture to figure out where are we, where have we been, and where are we going. So this is not necessarily a doctrinal message. This might be a message on the Word of God. Okay? Luke chapter 5 is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. There's a lot in there. I'm going to basically just stay on one particular theme and not deal with all the minor themes that are in there. But in Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, as I was reading through there in my yearly Bible reading just the other day, two words came across my mind and across my eyes, and I want to bring those to your attention this evening. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear what? The word of God. People pressed upon the Lord to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Title of my message tonight is The Word of God from the Voice of God. The Word of God from the Voice of God. Let's pray. Lord, here we have one of those experimental learning times where the Lord Jesus was with his disciples, the fishermen at this particular moment. We have Peter, James, and John will be found in this story a little bit later. And there were two ships involved at least. And there was a partnership, and there's ownership, and there's leadership, and there's fellowship, and there's discipleship, and there's a lot of ships going on in this story. But I'd like to focus on the Word and Jesus as the Word. So I pray and ask that you would guide us and direct us for a few minutes. For those that couldn't be with us, I pray you'd be with them in a special way. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God minister to our hearts where we are, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have the Lord who's going to be preaching the Word of God. And Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, I'd like to have a word with you? They'd like to talk with you. They'd like to have a discussion. Now, depending upon the tone of voice, will often depend on what that conversation will entail. Peter said, Lord, at your word, I will do what you suggest. So I decided, as I thought about that, and I've been thinking about that all year, the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. We will go there, but really that's the foundation of the entire year. In the beginning was the Word. So Peter, when Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? Peter, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and through God the Father, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. So there are some incredible, deep, profound dilemmas that we face, philosophical dilemmas, existential dilemmas, transcendental dilemmas, when we think of, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of what? Well, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. John 1:1 comes before Genesis 1:1. So we have a gospel writer, 90 years roughly after Jesus died, somewhere in that range, 90 AD, give or take. So John is writing to perhaps not fill in the Bible, but John is basically saying to the church, we have more information that might be helpful, knowing that the incarnate Christ is now the answer and is the Messiah and the Redeemer and has always been the solution to man's eventual problem. In the beginning was the Word. That became incarnate in John 1:14. So we look at this particular passage of Scripture where they gathered to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God could be described as the words of God, right? The words of God, or words written by, words spoken by God. So in Genesis, don't turn there, in Genesis chapter 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking. So the Bible says that the Word of God could also be the voice of God, the voice of the Lord. And we could spend quite a bit of time giving you passages of Scripture like this. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, don't turn there, verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God. So throughout the Scriptures, we have reference to the voice of the Lord, which most likely would represent the Word of God. The voice of the Lord being equal to the Word of God. Would you say that would be a fair assumption? I didn't hear anybody say anything. Okay, so the voice of the Lord. Then in Genesis 15, verse number 1, it says, after these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abram. So the voice of God, the voice of the Lord. Now we have the Word of the Lord, Numbers 22:18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God. So Peter says, at thy word, I'll let down the net. But Jesus didn't say, let down a net. Jesus said, let down your nets. So Peter was interpreting what God had said in the wrong way. Jeremiah 26, verse 1, don't go there. So we have the voice of the Lord. We have the word of the Lord. In Genesis, Jeremiah 26, verse 1, it says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord. So the word of the Lord comes from the Lord. We have the word of God, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. Pastor, which one is which? Yes. Okay, so this is a little bit deeper than a 12-piece puzzle. Right? This is deeper than that. Mark chapter 1, turn there quickly. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they came unto Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Because those are the spirits speaking. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Now, what categorically, or what could we use to describe what Jesus had just done? He what? Oh, yeah. That's a really bad question. Okay, that question was as broad as, you know, the East is from the West. Okay, so could you agree that Jesus spoke at this particular demon? He spoke. So we have the words of Jesus, the word of the Lord, the word of God, the voice of God, a word from God. All of those fit here, right? What were those words? Hold thy peace, come out of him. Would anything in the universe have any way to resist that? No. No. Mark chapter 1, you're not very far away. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the word of God, said, I will. Be thou clean. So is there any disease that can resist the word of God? No. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We don't have time to go through the entire passage, but if you're familiar with this passage of scripture, this is the paralytic who is being carried by four of his buddies. He's on a gurney. He's on a stretcher, so to speak, whatever it is, a bed. And they take him to where they find out Jesus was. The crowd is way too big. They can't get in the proximity of the Lord. So they do this roofing job where they open up a hole and they let this guy down. And Jesus is so impressed with the faith of the friends that he says to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Of course, the scribes and Pharisees went ballistic. This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God only? So Jesus is now reasoning with them. Verse 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise. Now he was paralyzed. So arising would be miraculous. Take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And what does he do? He does exactly what the word of God said. Now, the question at this moment is, did the word of God cause this to happen, or did the individual believe the word of God and respond to it? He believed the word of God and respond to it. The demons had to obey, right? The rooster that crowed for Peter, the rooster had no choice, right? The whale that picked up Jonah as he was hitchhiking, that whale really had no choice, right? The quail that came to surround the nation of Israel and were buried them in their food, they didn't have much choice. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. He entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. You see, that's the problem. The Sabbath issue, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But of course they didn't say anything. They held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. So the book of Mark is the shortest gospel. The book of Mark goes from one event to another to another. It's kind of rapid. There's not a whole lot of dialogue in the book of Mark. There's obviously the chronology of the life and ministry of the Lord. And here we have an incredible story. And this story is found in the other gospels as well. Jesus calming the storm. You're very familiar with this. Jesus sends the disciples to the other side. While they're rowing, Jesus is watching them. This is the wrong story. Let's retool that. They went away together. Let me just stay with the text and I won't get confused. Verse 35. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. I don't know about you. I don't know of many boats, fishing boats, probably at that time and culture that had a pillow on them, let alone for the Word of God to say that Jesus' head was on a pillow. Isn't that classic? There was a little bit of comfort there for a moment. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Dumb question. Who's on the boat with him? Is the Son of God going to drown? No. But to them, this was life and death. So they're in a dilemma. Do we let the Lord sleep, knowing that he's exhausted, and we fear for our lives, or do we wake him up and ask the dumbest question in the world? Don't you care? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Now we can see how the animal kingdom responds to the Word of God. Here's an opportunity to see the natural kingdom respond to the Word of God. When I was on the Sea of Galilee, we were told by the tour guide of the boat that this particular body of water has, it's right in the middle of a hill country. And there's a part of the northwestern part of the Sea of Galilee that has like this cut through the mountains and through the hills. So the wind from the Mediterranean Sea comes across the highlands and goes to the Sea of Galilee and whips that place up. And in minutes, they can go from clear, kind of like Buffalo, you can go from nice weather to stormy weather and in really a quick amount of time. So we have the Word of God, the voice of God speaking to the sea, peace be still. In Mark chapter 5, you're very familiar with the story of the maniac of Gadara, where Jesus is now going to speak to the demons within that man. Mark chapter number 5, verse 21, we have the story of Jairus and his daughter, who's on the verge of dying. As Jairus gets the attention of Jesus, and Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, they're interrupted. They're interrupted by the woman who has the issue of blood. So Jesus, as we've talked about before, pauses in the middle of this medical crisis for this man and his family. This woman by faith comes and says, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Of course, she was. And Jesus was swarmed by people, but Jesus was being bumped. Jesus did not have a faith project person that was bumping him except for this woman. This woman came to him specifically as a faith project. So Jesus goes to the master's house, if you're familiar, verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Now you would think that the ruler of the synagogue would be a Jew, right? That would make sense. So we have the ruler of the synagogue, who's a Jewish religious person, who probably hasn't heard very good things about Jesus, asking the Lord to come to his home. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, the disciples, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, or however that is pronounced in Greek, which being interpreted is, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. He said one word, Talitha kumai. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. So he rose the dead. with his word. He spoke to death, and death responded. The girl was restored to life because of the word of God. That doesn't mean that you and I can do that. That doesn't mean that faith healers can do that. But there was a time, historically, when Jesus did that. Matthew 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. It's amazing how Jesus went and used the background and the familiarity of what these disciples were familiar with to teach them faith lessons. They were on the boat a lot. Here they were again. And the reason why they were on the boat often is because they failed their exams. They didn't do well when it came to practical examination time. Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And you're very familiar with the passage. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We've said this many times. Peter walked on a word. He walked on the word come. So whatever that word meant, I don't know how to explain this, other than the fact that the word of God was the promise of God. The word of God became the power of God. The word of God became the fulfillment of a crazy idea that Peter had. I'm going to test the Lord. I'm going to test this spirit. If it be you, Lord, bid me to walk on the water. What a crazy thought. Now, don't you think a fisherman probably had a thought like that every once in a while? Wouldn't it be great if I could walk on a, I wouldn't need a boat. I wouldn't need those things that you put on your arms. Floaties. I'd be okay. I wouldn't have to worry about drowning. If ever I was stuck and I needed to walk home, I could get out of the boat, drop the anchor. It would work out great. Come. In the natural world, what did that word do? I'm not sure. In the spiritual world, what did that word require? It required an act of faith, right? This was a faith project. Now, God didn't set up this faith project. Peter did. Again, what an imagination. Oh, you want to walk on water? Sure, come on. Really? Oh, no. What did I just say? This is insane. What are they going to think if I get out of the boat? And I go, I'm going to the bottom. But the voice of God said, come. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Again, let's pause for a moment and think of things like this, where the word of God spoken by the Son of God had power over disease from a distance. Hey, you talk about the first GPS. I mean, God, you have on your phone, Find Your Friends. I mean, Cindy was walking in the neighborhood the other day and she had a cell phone. So she said, oh, track me. Okay. So I knew exactly where she was as she was walking the neighborhood. Find Your Friend. Well, this... Isn't it interesting how God had power to do that? Mark 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee. Here we are again. Through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. The voice of God, speaking the word of God, had power to heal this particular individual. Mark chapter number 9. Starting in verse 14, Jesus heals a boy with an unclean spirit. The disciples couldn't. And Jesus found his disciples in this conversational confrontation with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews. Why couldn't thy disciples cast this demon out? And Jesus went to the Father, found out what this demon had been doing to his son, casting him in the fire, trying to drown him, horrible, horrific things. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch as many said he is dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Mark chapter 10, Bartimaeus is a blind man, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. John chapter 11, if you would turn there. John chapter 11. Okay, so let's summarize. God speaks. God has spoken. God created the universe with his word. God also provided a revelation of himself for his created beings to relate to talk to be introduced to the Son of God that would be the Redeemer of all mankind. So not only does the God of the Word speak the Word of God, but the God of the Word became the Word of God. Somebody write that down. Isn't that true? So we have the God of the Word on earth, called the Word of God, the Son of God, who has a ministry that he began to redeem mankind from their sin. And as he was ministering, words would come out of his mouth. There was time for conversation. There was time for teaching, a lot of things. But I think when the apostles wrote down what the Holy Spirit instructed them to record, we have a copy of the inspired and the preserved what? Word of God. Within that Word of God, there were specific directions, plans, specific directives. God said to Abram, get up and go. What did Abram do? He got up and went. Because of that faith obedience, God was able to work with Abram further. Where are you now? We have the inspired, preserved word in our hands. The word of God and the voice of God speaks to us individually. The question is, are we listening? Are we obeying? If we're not listening, there's no opportunity to obey. If we're listening and God is speaking and we refuse to obey, is there any potential ministry for us in the near future? No. We have shut down the possibility of ministry because we will not heed or obey the scripture. As we began the message, we talked about to obey is better than sacrifice. So the Lord is interested in knowing the word, understanding the word, applying the word. So whatever age we are spiritually, hear it, learn it, do it. It doesn't get any simpler than that, right? When you talk to your children, now hear me. Do you understand? Hear, understand, and do. Obey. So we have the Word of God, as powerful as any force in the universe, at our disposal. And yet, we're afraid of it. The nation of Israel was afraid. God said to Abram, hey, Abram, you passed one of those faith tests in the past. I got another faith test for you. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him on the Mount Moriah. Lord, are you sure? Are you sure? John chapter 11. This is the story of Lazarus. You're familiar with the story. Let's begin at verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. Of course, who's in the grave? Lazarus is in the grave. Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So this is going to be a miracle to prove the deity of Christ. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Sunday, we were talking about things in our lives that, caterpillar. A creepy crawler. Oh, must be the missus. It's following behind. No, maybe the missus is leading. Maybe the husband is so old he can't keep up. Sunday we talked about compartments in our lives. Strategically placed on purpose. Places of coping. Whether it's a post-traumatic stress disorder that you faced, whether it was a loss, whether it was a crisis that you went through in your life, but there were things in your life that you've compartmentalized and put away. And no one knows about those things except for you and God. So how do we know God is real? How do we know that the Word of God really is the power of God unto salvation? Well, as you read the scriptures, or you come to church to listen. You can avoid the scriptures by not reading them. But if you come to church and you hear the Word of God preached, again, you can turn that off. But the Word of God knows where you are. God knows you're here, whatever church you might be in. So whatever compartment that you're keeping from God, God knows exactly what that compartment is. And God will speak to that compartment inside of you to prove to you that the Word of God is real and that God cares for you, that nobody in the universe knows about that compartment but you. And then all of a sudden, God is speaking to you about that compartment. And you say, how in the world did the preacher know? Oh, he checks this surveillance video. That's how. I got a surveillance video on all you guys. Mm-hmm. So before I prepare my message, I go to Jose's house and I go to nearest his house. And of course, Victor and Edie, it's hard to decipher what's going on there all the time. But you know what I'm saying. So God knows, and that's proof that the Word of God is alive. You can be Jonah and run away from God, but you'll never run away from the voice of God. Never. Even in hell. You're not going to run away from the voice of God, because the voice of God will be in your head in hell, reminding you of the opportunities you had and you blew it. For all eternity, you're going to be remembering, I could have, I should have, but I didn't, I didn't, I didn't. And now, as recorded in the scripture, Abraham, would you send somebody to my family and tell them about this place? And Abraham in Abraham's bosom said, they've got the Word of God. If somebody came from the dead, they won't believe that either. So we have the Word of God. And all we have to do is say, Lord, would you find me? Would you examine me? Would you allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to stop me? Because right now I'm probably too independent. I might be going down a path I don't know if I should or not. You're the divine GPS. So I might be in a corn maze right now and I'm lost. I really don't know. Should I turn right? Should I turn left? Should I go backwards? Should I go forward? Be still and know that I'm God. If we've come to that place where we think that our wisdom can get us through this, oh, we're sadly mistaken. Let's pray. Lord, from an elementary level, the Bible is a book of pages and words and titles. Chapters and numbers, verses, authors, and we've heard that it's 66 books put together to be one. But sometimes beyond that, I'm more confused. And Lord, would you help me in my walk? Would you help me understand that being a child of God is like being a child? That the developmental process takes years? That in order to run and jump and leap, I have to first crawl? And sometimes we forget, because we appear to be functioning human beings, and yet spiritually, maybe not so. Lord, give us a spirit of humility, a spirit of teachability, a spirit of desire. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Help us to do that so that we might have a closer walk with thee, that we might worship thee in grace and truth, and Lord, that you might use us as vessels, instruments of ministry. For your kingdom's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Victor, Dan, could you guys pass out our prayer cards? And as you're filling out the prayer cards, let's take, as they're being passed out, we'll take a moment. If you have a prayer request that needs to be highlighted or something that you need to say before you leave here that you're going to put on your prayer card, but you'd like to share with the church family, please do so. Do they have big hairy fur on them? I mean, isn't that important, how much hair is on a caterpillar?
In this kind of weather, yeah.